Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How many of you put out the trash this last week? Anybody put out the trash this last week? Somebody did, okay. Not everybody in the family, because you always make somebody, you go do it. Pretty much every week, there is something that we've got to toss out. It may be wrappers, it may be containers, it may be something that's broken, it may be something that comes with the territory, like a banana peel. Things where we've got to get rid of them. When Kathy and I fly, there's always somebody coming down the aisle saying, garbage, 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 which always bothers me because in Detroit, when I grew up, we had garbage and rubbish. And rubbish is the wrappers, garbage is the banana peels. So I had two of them, actually. But you have anything to throw away? Well, when we look around in our houses, we can say the same thing. Are there some things we need to throw away? And I found out the smaller the house, the harder it is, because then there's no place even to stick it in a corner to look back at it some other day. Maybe it means that we go through our old tax records and we can shred some of the stuff that we don't have to save anymore because it's more years back than what the government can find and use on us to throw us in the clink. And so we finally say, okay, I can get rid of this, I can get rid of that. The most recent AARP magazine that came had 20 different things that we could do in our house to throw stuff away. And they didn't even have a lot of the kind of things I think we should do on the list. Well, how do you get rid of stuff? And what do you get rid of? Do you get rid of important stuff? Or do you get rid of junk? Or do you get rid of things that at one time were important and now they're junk? We probably all have some drawer or some closet that has some stuff stuffed into it, literally probably, that we say, well, someday maybe I'll go look at that. But do you think that I would really consider among the junk the certificate I got when I graduated with my doctorate from the University of Heidelberg? Well, that I did a lot of work for that. Do you think if there are books that I decide to get rid of, that I'd get rid of my Isaiah commentary that I translated? Not hardly. But I remember driving back from Toledo to our little town of Britain after Kathy and I went and saw a movie one Saturday night, and we always went to the movie in Toledo when we had time change, always in the fall because we had an extra hour. So we'd go to the movie, come back, and still have time to sleep. And I remember I was very close to finishing my doctoral studies, getting my thesis done, and I said to her, I would give all this up if it meant that one more person would hear the gospel and be saved. This work is not as important. Even though it was opening some doors for me to teach, that work that I could be proud of was not as important as people hearing the gospel. Paul is proud of much of what he did in his life. He says, if you take out the checklist of what's important, I did it all. I was right at the top of my list in the flesh, in the things that I was doing. I was at the top of the list about impressing God with how good a person I was and how I was living the right kind of life. I was doing everything I could to be a good believer in God. Except what I realized, Paul says, is that none of it mattered. None of it was important. What in our life matters? What in our life is important? There are certainly things that we value. There are certainly things that we can be proud of. And it doesn't mean, Paul is not talking here about cleaning our house out or throwing away trash. He's talking about how do we look at the life that we live? How do we look at what's valuable and what's important? What's worth still doing? We all have hobbies that we use to spend some of our time. Sometimes we do them for a while. Sometimes we do them our whole life. I've got a coin collection and a stamp collection, and I still keep looking for the new pennies and keeping my coins up to date. Little thing, it doesn't matter a whole lot, it's not worth a whole lot. But it's that and other things that we do, that's not what Paul's talking about. He says, what really drives us? What is at the center of our being? What's most important? And it can be that we say that we are going to have some academic things that we're going to do. It might be some skill, some ability to be good at some musical thing or some physical thing, racing or running or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they don't become our ultimate, that which is what is most important to us. I remember already many years ago talking in Bible class over at Bethlehem about how hard it is to get out of our comfort zone. We don't really like to be out of our comfort zone. We like to be where it's nice and safe. And so it's out of our comfort zone to talk to somebody about that we believe that Christ is our Savior. It's just not as easy as maybe talking about the fact that it might rain today. Some things we decide we just won't say anything about. I think Satan gets us to say nothing about our salvation because we think we're talking about how good we are, but we're really bragging about what someone has given us. And yet we find that hard. We find that as something we hold back on and don't talk about. Keep that to ourselves. Religion and politics, don't argue about those. Even though there is an empty grave that has changed our existence, Paul says all of the things that I am proud of that I did aren't worth anything. The phrase goes, you can't take it with you. Well, My mom showed me a cartoon one time of a funeral procession with a Brinks truck as the last vehicle. Somebody says, I guess you can take it with you. Well, you can take it with you in, but just not out. Take whatever you want in, but just not out. Well, there's only one thing that you can take in that you can take out, and that's your faith in Jesus Christ. Throw everything else away. Finally, the only thing that matters is that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, died to take our eternal death away and has given us, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, peace with God the Father through Christ, by the blessing of the Spirit, breathing eternal life back into us again. That's the precious treasure. That's the thing that is never to be thrown away, never to be just put off on the side as if, well, that's just something that I kind of drag along. That's what the whole thing is about. It doesn't mean we have to throw our life away. It doesn't mean we have to quit enjoying the things we do. It's just what's in its proper place. And for many, anything but Christ is in the proper place. Sometimes for all of us, Christ is not in the proper place. Christ is not the one who guides and leads us to thank and praise and serve and obey him. And so other things can come out in the open, but that kind of stays silent. And our Lord would change our hearts and our minds and our mouths. Paul says, there is nothing more important than that I live with Christ forever and that you live with Christ forever. That the most important thing going is that everyone knows and is touched by the Spirit of God to be given the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. I remember trying to think about, am I really a, quote, good Christian? Because I had, on one hand, never gone through any real, real bad physical threats to my life where I could say I've borne the cross. And I wasn't the kind who was going to go off somewhere else in the world. I toyed with it once upon a time to go be a missionary and give up everything and go somewhere else to just proclaim Christ until I get some bad disease and die and everybody can say, oh, that's too bad. Where we live, where we are, is where God has placed each of us to be. To love the people around us. First of all, to pray for them. To ask that they might know the peace that passes all understanding, to have it as important in our lives that people know who that is. The trouble is, a lot of us in our daily lives, we interact with people with whom we're comfortable, and we don't always know a lot of people who are not aware of who Christ is. But we certainly know many who struggle, as we do, many who need that encouraging word, who need to be reminded, God is with us, Christ is with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. To be able to take things that are difficult and not have them crush us, but to remember we are supported into all eternity by a God who created us and loved us enough to send his Son. And so Paul says, the things that I was proud of, the things that I could boast about that I had done, or that were important for my lineage, I realized once Christ died for every human being, then I realized I was the one in the wrong. And he said, then I have to figure out each day what's rubbish, what's junk, what's to be thrown away. And that may not come as much in what's in the closet in our house as much as in the closet of our mind. The things we hold on to. I'm not going to talk to anybody about Jesus. Why would I want to do that? I might get in a fight with them. And our Lord says, be my witnesses. Tell what gives shape to your life. I am honored that Jesus Christ died and rose to promise me life everlasting. And whatever comes in my earthly life is not determinative of what my life is really all about. My life is about the fact that even though I struggle, God is not chasing after me, trying to make me better or make me perfect. I can relax in his forgiving arms. I can go through life loving other people as he has loved me. Now, you find your way to say it, but find a way to say it. Find a way to be able to say, this is the hope that fills me. Often it comes when someone else is talking to us about what weighs them down so much that they don't know what to do about it. And we can say, this is what I believe is true about me and about you. And this is what draws me upward into the presence of God, with whom I expect to live forever. It is not that I boast about what I've done, but it's that I boast about what Christ has done for me. Find your own words, your own way to say it. But with Paul, realize that there are some things that are eternally important that are not just for our own private thoughts, but that get to be shared, that get to be talked about in a way that we can do it. We all know that there are people who say, well, don't shove religion down my throat. I'm not shoving religion down your throat. I'm telling you what moves me. And I want you to know that that brings a peace that you don't maybe have, that I don't always have. But I want you to know that that's the true peace that lasts for all eternity, that upward call in Christ Jesus. And he died for you as well as for me. Find ways to say it. Whatever the conversation, there are times when the Holy Spirit opens the door for us. However you put those words together is for you to decide and for you to ask the Lord to help you. But it's eternal. It is something that God had on the depth of his being. If he didn't want to get out of his comfort zone, we'd all be lost forever. To get out of our comfort zone in connection with, or in relation to, or in comparison to what he did, is nothing. It is in the depth of the heart of God that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And as Paul says, I throw a lot of other things out so that this can take its proper place, that I can look forward to that and share that. So for us as well, we pray that the Lord will help each of us, because every one of us hesitate. Each one of us find good reasons not to say or do anything. But in the depth of the brokenness that is in every heart on this earth, the good news of forgiveness and grace and mercy is not just about words, but it's about the Word made flesh, who gave eternal life, and he says to us, would you please go be witnesses to others of what I have done? We don't have to go halfway around the world. We don't have to boast about the fact that we almost died, but simply in our own day, with our own story, to say our Lord strengthens us, keeps us going, and promises to be with us, that we will be with him forever as well. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.